great scriptures today. Interesting, just a week before July 4th, we have a lectionary passage talking about freedom. That's something near and dear to our hearts in America. We fought a revolutionary war for freedom. People came to this continent for freedom. Every war we fought, we've talked about freedom, whether that was really the issue or not, because that is such an important issue in our lives. Dr. William Glasser, when he developed his psychology, said there are five basic things we need all of the time in our lives in a balanced way, and one of those is freedom, the freedom to make choices. I was talking to a parent recently who was having a problem with their child, and their child not wanting to do something. And instead of forcing them into it, they said, okay, here it is. Here's what you're supposed to do. Now, it's your choice. But you're going to have to live with the consequences. We see that made an impression. That made an impression because it met a need. And eventually, they thought about those consequences and decided it was better to do what the parent said. Freedom has a lot of meanings. As we hear the word, as we think about it in our lives, as we think about our history. But when we're doing all of that reminiscing, when all of those pictures are going through our minds, does it ring back to God? In the garden, freedom was granted to these new creatures, a man and a woman. And unfortunately, their ability to choose led them into a little trouble, just like it does for you and I. But God created us in His image as free agents. For what would our love of God mean if we did not have the choice not to love God? And Paul is telling us that the heart of the gospel is the fact that you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. Now see, freedom was always important to God's people, especially from the time of captivity in Egypt. But you see, we don't have to be slaves. We don't have to be captive by another nation. We don't have to be imprisoned somewhere to need freedom. For there are many things that box us in. There are many things that seem to trap us. There are many things in our lives that seem to imprison us physically and mentally and psychologically and spiritually. There's always a hunger for freedom. But once we have it in Christ Jesus, do we give it up because of our self-indulgence? See, the essence is competing with God, thinking we're more important than God. Essentially, that's what happened in the garden. That's exactly what happens in our lives when we sin, that we want what we want when we want it. It's not just children and immature little kids who act that way. We act that way a lot of times as adults, but we cover it with a veneer that looks very respectable. And Paul says that's dangerous. Because the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus is a spiritual freedom that conquers the power of sin and death and the things of the flesh. That's why he tells us, live by the Spirit. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. And what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. Paul talked about this all of the time. He talked about it in the 7th and 8th chapter of Romans. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit. That is the human battle. The battle between our sin nature and our godly nature. That's the freedom we ought to fight to protect. Because when we have that freedom, we may be in prison, but we're free. We may have another country conquer us, but we're still free. There are people living in dictatorships around the world that have Jesus Christ in their heart, and they are free people. They cannot be oppressed because Christ, through the Spirit, lives and reigns with them, and all they can do is attack the body, the flesh, which is opposed to the Spirit. Remember what I've told you so many times. We're not human beings with a spirit. We're spiritual beings that have become human. That's our God-given nature. That is our destiny, to return to the Spirit. And Paul warns us, be led then by the Spirit if you want to hold on to freedom. Don't give in to our worldly, fleshly desires. Don't let the list of sins that he puts here corrupt our lives and make us live in bondage in this world. I think it's interesting, his little list starts off with, you know, big stuff and ends with big stuff. But right in the middle, stuff we get caught up in. Yeah, I mean, we may have committed some of the other sins, but right in the middle is the ways we become captive. We become captive because of strife and jealousy and anger and quarrels and dissensions and factions and envy. See, that's everyday loss of freedom. Not what we'd call the really big sins, but they'll steal our freedom from us because we want to live according to the flesh. He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This morning, I was inspired by my personal devotions. I read through my scripture and came across a piece on St. Francis. And I said, thank you, Lord. What a wonderful example that illustrates both Galatians and the reading from the Gospel of Luke. I mean, now, here was a guy in about 1128 who was born. His dad was away on a business trip. He was a cloth merchant from Assisi. He was particularly fond of the material he found in France. And he comes home to find his son has been born and baptized and named Giovanni, after John the Baptist. And being a good merchant, he didn't want any kid to get mixed up in this God stuff because that would get in the way of making money. And he renamed him Francisco, after the beloved country that supplied all the beautiful material that he bought and got so rich selling. And so young Francis grew up in privilege. And plus, he was a pretty boy. I mean, he was a good-looking kid. He was a charmer. Everybody liked him. As a matter of fact, he was such a goody-two-shoes that even when he messed up, people forgave him. I mean, he was just a good-looking, likable kid. And he had it easy, but he had this wonderful capacity to attract guys who liked to party and carouse and raise the roof a little bit. And he partied hardy. And he had the money to do it. And was around all his spoiled friends who had the money to do it. And then he decided, well, I want more than just partying. I want some glory. This business stuff doesn't look too interesting to me. I want glory. He said, I want to fight in a glorious war. And it just so happened that Assisi in a neighboring town got in a war. And he signed up. He was going out there for glory. He wanted to be a prince. He wanted to be a nobleman. He wanted to be a knight. Looked good. I'm going for it. The only problem was they slaughtered everybody from Assisi. And the only people who lived were the people who were rich enough that the other town could ransom. And he spent a year in a dungeon in a prison. Got out of prison, got bought back by daddy, and went back to having a good old time and partying. And then along came the Fourth Crusade. Ah, here's my chance for glory. I'm going to be a knight. And a knight's got to have a horse with armor. And I've got to have armor. And he was so rich that he had his armor made and had it gold inlaid. And had this really nice cloak, dad being a cloth merchant, the best to wrap around that shining silver and gold set of armor. And he got on that beautiful horse, and a day's journey out, God spoke to him and said, "Kid, you got it all wrong. This ain't what it's about. Go home." He turned that horse around, and he went home to absolute disgrace. His father was angry with him. He didn't want him to go in the first place, but now he blew all that money on the horse and the horse's armor and his armor and that nice cloak, which he gave away to somebody. His dad was embarrassed. He was teased. He was taunted. And finally, God spoke to him again. A strange kind of way, because this guy liked the best. He loved beauty. He was riding that horse outside of Assisi and came across a leper. And it just disgusted him to see somebody that deformed. And on top of that, they smelled really bad. And yet something happened in his heart. And he climbed down off of that horse, went over and knelt down before the leper and took his deformed, cruddy hand and kissed him. And the leper embraced him and kissed him back. And even though it disgusted him, he did it. And he got back on his horse, headed back towards town, and looked around, and the leper was gone. I believe that God had come to test him. Well, he went to a little church, torn down, broken, in rubble, and he heard God speak to him while he was praying. "I want you to fix my church. I want you to fix my church." And so he said, "Sure. Where am I going to get the money? This place is a wreck." So he thought his dad would never miss a few bolts of that expensive cloth. So he sold it and got some money to fix up the church. But that wasn't the church God wanted him to fix up. He didn't want him to fix up the church with a little C. He wanted him to fix up the church with a big C. The whole church. And you know what his dad did? Had him arrested for stealing the material. Gathered the whole town around. Had the bishop out there. You know, he didn't like religion, but this is his chance to embarrass the bishop, because this is God's work. And he said, "Bishop, make my son pay back everything he stole, and a penalty too." And the bishop told him, he said, "Francis, this is right. You should not have stolen from your father." And he took all of his clothes off, stripped down till he was buck naked, gave it back to his father, and said, "Bishop, if you'll take me, I come to you with nothing." And that started the ministry of St. Francis of Assisi. Looking for his direction, he opened his Bible to three places in the New Testament. The first place was the story of the rich young ruler: sell everything you have and give it to the poor. The second scripture he flipped to was take up the cross daily. The third scripture he flipped to was go out and preach the good news and take nothing with you. And that's what he did for the rest of his life. He did finally get to go to the Crusades, by the way. But he went there to convert the Muslims. He snuck through the Christian lines, was taken a prisoner, and demanded to talk to the Sultan and witness to the Sultan about Jesus the Christ. And the Sultan said, "You know, I would convert to your beautiful religion now that I understand it, but then we'd both be murdered." He was finally released. He had gathered around him people who wanted to live a simple life of just trusting God. A man who found freedom in giving up everything. A man who found freedom in going out with nothing and trusting God to provide everything. A man who found freedom in taking up the cross daily. And in just 10 years' time, over 5,000 people gathered to learn how to live that simple life. And the Franciscan order is spread all over the world today. Because a man didn't glory in poverty, he made poverty holy. Because he used his freedom for the spirit rather than for the flesh. He died at age 45, going around not in good health. His eyes got so bad and so infected that the bishop ordered him to be operated on. And the way they operated on you is took a hot iron and just burned your eyes over to kill the infection. And he prayed to the God of fire to help him deal with the pain and had not an ounce of pain. He so wanted to be free to live by the Spirit that in his poverty, in his misery, before his death, he asked to be like Christ in every way, and his body showed the signs of the stigmata, the print of the nails in the wrist and in the feet and the slash in the side. And died at 45 years of age, but left a legacy that lives on today. For freedom you were called. Do not use your freedom to fall back because of self-indulgence. We're big talkers about freedom. We're big talkers about the Christian faith. Are we really living the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus? Let us pray. Gracious Father, thank you for people like St. Francis who lived a life that taught us that freedom doesn't give us license to live any way we want to party and have a good time. That's what the flesh offers. That's what the world offers. That's what society says is valuable. What we have, what we do, how good we feel about ourselves. Help us to hear the quiet voice of your Spirit that might be calling us to sacrifice a little more than we're doing. And may we embrace the freedom of that Spirit that will enable us to live and be guided by the Spirit, that we may bring glory to your name and find our peace. Amen.